This episode was recorded for my UK column show. Please keep us independent by going to support.ukcolumn.org.
This is Germ Warfare, the battle of ideas.
Flat Earth Dave, thank you for joining me in the trenches.
Hey, Germ, thanks for having me back. Looking forward to the discussion. It's always, as we were just discussing, this topic is, I think, the most important topic of all time. But if you don't understand what Flat Earth is and are just programmed with what you're told that it is, it seems like the dumbest thing on the world. Why waste time talking about it?
Why is it the most important topic?
Well, if you don't know where you live, who you are, what this place is, what our history is, the true power that we have, if you think that you're disconnected in a random universe, you evolved from pond scum in an ever-expanding, ridiculous, helio-nonsensical system, and you don't understand that we truly are at the center of creation and there is much, much more here, I think that's just the beginning. That's a good start. So, you know, it literally living on a globe belief, I call it the globe religion, is it stops you from living to your full potential. But I'm doing pretty good. You know, I've got a good job. I get 2 weeks off every year to go on vacation, you know, and I'm only paying 30% in taxes instead of 40. If you understood what this place is, none of that would matter. It would be completely different. This place is an amazing center of creation. We all have incredible powers that are being hidden from us. There is unlimited resources, and everything we're being shown is a lie. And, you know, if I'm sure we're on the same page on the mainstream media, all the stuff they show us is complete and total nonsense. Everything. It's all a stage, from politics to news stories to, you know, everything. It's all a show, and the way they get rid of it, the way they get away with it is they've convinced us that we're spinning out of control, lost in space, and that we're nothing. And so if you don't have a good foundation, you can believe that breathing on grandma will kill her.
You mentioned creation a couple times.
Well, a lot of people say, oh, are you religious? Are you, you know, is it a spiritual thing? It absolutely is not. It's an understanding of the true reality of our world. But the question is, you know, what is our world? This is a spiritual place. We are in a spiritual war. The people, and I'll put people in quotation marks, that are running this place are doing it for energy. It's all an energy exchange. They literally are after our energy. We are, you can look at the movie The Matrix. It's more of a documentary than a fantasy movie. It is a spiritual war. Our souls, if you will, are under attack. They're being used to, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? Feed evil. Once you understand, you know, how they control us, and it's very simple. The way they control us, the only way they control us, is through fear. Right. So fear, false evidence appearing real, F-E-A-R, is the way they control us. If you are in fear, you are giving your energy away. The truth is there's nothing to be afraid of. We are at the center of creation. This place is abundant, safe, and we have amazing abilities on every level, from health, wealth, thriving, everything. So yeah, it is a spiritual war. And people say, well, you know, a lot of Christians are flat earthers. Sure. Well, find any group. There's a lot of Christians in almost any group. But that's not what makes you a flat earther. What makes you a flat earther to me is the science. The science of what this place is. People that believe in the globe don't know what they're defending. They don't know their own model. You ask them what the radius is, the circumference is, the speed, how that it's orbiting, the fact that it's chasing the sun that they don't even know, how far the sun is, how big the sun is, how those things were figured out. They don't know any of it, but they'll still defend their position. So they're literally defending a religion that they don't know anything about. And flat earthers know more about the heliocentric globe religion than the people that defend it, because that's how we became flat earthers. If you understood the system that they tell you you live in, you would become a flat earther because it's ridiculous.
As far as I understand, Dave, historically, people did believe that Earth is flat, from, I think, Egyptian cosmology to Mesopotamia to even ancient Greece. I think Homer himself argued that Earth was flat.
They've been, you know, we're taught that Earth is, that flat Earth has been disproven 2,000 years ago by Eratosthenes, which is ridiculous. We can look at that if you want. But they were teaching flat Earth into the 1900s. The 1900s. I met a woman named Ruth at an old age home. She was 102 years old, and I was interviewing her about the World's Fairs. And she had been to the World's Fairs, and it was amazing. And she had such a sharp memory and everything. And I said, hey, when you were in elementary school, what did they teach you about the Earth? Only thing I said. And she goes, they taught me the Earth was flat. And I was like, really? And then I said that, and then afterwards they told her it wasn't flat, and she just believed them. And when I told her that the Earth was flat and that we are at the center of creation, she literally broke down in tears. It was absolutely amazing. And this short, quick little story. This video started going, went viral. Like, it was uploaded to hundreds and hundreds of channels. And I told everybody, we need to go to old age homes right now and find people that are over 100 years old that still have their wits about them and interview them about what they were taught in school. And then a couple days later, this was in 2020, the lockdown happened and all old age homes worldwide were shut down. Now, some people say that could be my fault, but I don't know.
But the thing for me, Dave, that makes this topic so interesting is the fact that it is treated like a circus act. And that's probably by design.
Oh, 100%. There's besides all the bots out there, there's paid agents out there that they're all working together to shoot down every video. You'll notice here, when you post this video, the bots will show up before the flat earthers will show up. The paid trolls will show up. And the way you can tell is you look at all of the pro, you know, hey, Dave's on, you know, this is good, and check out this proof and that video. These are from real accounts. You look at the people, they have videos and everything. You go to the accounts that just say, oh, Dave's a grifter and you're being scammed and everything. Look at their accounts. Empty. Nothing. No, nothing. There's people that have been following me around for 10 years. They still have zero content on their channel. So these are paid people to dissuade people from looking farther. And by the way, you know, negative comments and stuff work. People read the negative comments and they're influenced by them. So that's what they do.
The point I was making earlier is that for the longest time, people did believe Earth is flat. So when did this change and why?
Well, it was changed by the Rockefellers when they took over the I would say it happened when they took over the education system. I think it was in 1902. And they literally removed the AE map out of all the libraries in the 1950s, and they stopped teaching that. And the question is why? Yes, why? Yeah.
Yep.
Why did they do it? Because if you knew where you lived, if you knew who you were, if you knew that there's more, probably more land, probably more places to go, you can't be controlled. But they have us in an invisible fenced farm where we don't believe, you know, where we think that's it. There's nothing else, right? They have us believing that we live on this ball where there is no more. For example, let me just pull this up. So here's the map. Let me pull this up. There you go. Here's the map. This is the map that was in all encyclopedias, schools. They were teaching on it. This is called the AE map. And what they did is they cut it out and they wrapped it around a ball. And they said, you're not allowed to go to this white area at the bottom because the penguins, we can't disturb the penguins and the ice, right? You're not allowed to go here. Right. So think about that. what could be beyond there? What if we did that to Australia, right? What if we told Australians they can no longer, they can't go 500 miles off their shoreline. So we draw a circle around that. And anytime they get out there, the military stops them saying, stop, you can't go out here. You disturb the penguins, the migration routes. And they wouldn't know about Europe, Africa, Russia, America. They wouldn't know about anything. And you wrap that around a ball and teach them that's where they live. Think about that for us. Think of the world as a much, much bigger place, right? It could be anything. Again, we don't know what's beyond 60 degrees south. There's no independent exploration, free exploration beyond 60 degrees south. Why is that? Why do all the countries in the world agree upon that?
Yeah, I've also wondered that. The Antarctic Treaty.
Yeah. The Antarctic Treaty in 1959, I think, they all of a sudden, all the countries in the world agreed that nobody can explore Antarctica. It was supposedly right after Admiral Byrd went out to Antarctica, said he found more land bigger than the United States on the other side of the South Pole. Well, the other side of the South Pole from where he was coming from would be in between Africa and Australia. Well, I think that somebody would see something, know about land bigger than the United States. You know, it's quite interesting. You know, and then also it's called Project High Jump because the shoreline of Antarctica, at least where they went, was way higher than the ocean, right? So if you look at the average elevation of all the countries in the world, Antarctica is over twice the height of number two. So large bodies of water need containment, right? You can't bring me a gallon of water without a container, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Water at rest lies flat. So think of the world as a giant pond, and Antarctica is the shoreline of our pond. Now, does the shoreline of Antarctica go all the way around? I actually don't think so anymore. I think that it goes out beyond where they're telling us. And maybe there's other suns out there, heat sources. But again, that's just speculation because we're not allowed to go there. We don't need to speculate what's beyond 60 degrees south or what's over our heads that we can't verify, to tell us the shape of the Earth. We can measure the shape of the Earth because they gave us the radius. They gave us the radius so we can use their claims to disprove their, their claims.
But now, I mean, you've obviously heard loads of attempted counter-arguments like, well, what about Pythagoras? And of course, you know, the people who came after him.
Like Eratosthenes?
Yeah, and Aristotle.
Yeah, well, these are all people that, have you ever met any of them?
No.
Right? You know, there's people in today's news that I don't even know are real. I mean, we don't even want to get into the Charlie Kirk situation, right? So I don't even know if any of these people existed. But think about this. Eratosthenes. He's the guy that said, well, you know, the sun's so far away that the light rays come in parallel. No one's ever seen parallel light rays. Right. And he did an experiment with his sticks and shadows, whether it's a well or sticks. The story just keeps changing. And, you know, he measured no shadow where he was and his friend 500 miles away that figured out he was 500 miles away because he walked and counted his steps. And somehow they knew how to take the measurement at the exact same time and communicate with each other. And he had a shadow. Well, if the sun was ever so far away, you know, was infinitely far away, 93 million miles. The only way you'd have a shadow is if the Earth was curved, and that's what Carl Sagan put into our brains and everything. But on a flat Earth with a small local sun, you got the light here, no shadow, and you have a shadow here. You could do the same math Eratosthenes did on a flat Earth and tell us that this is curved, and it's not. So again, they use Eratosthenes' story, which is a ridiculous story, to say that the Greeks figured it out 2,000 years ago and then nobody ever checks to verify it. This does not prove flat Earth. It works on both.
That sun distance of 93 million miles, I mean, it's such an absurd number anyway. But what is then the flat Earth distance? And in that case, what is the sun?
Yeah, those are great questions. So first thing is falsification, when you falsify something, is independent of replacement, right? You could say, hey, I've got 10 gallons of water in this cup. Well, you can figure out that that's impossible. You can falsify it. And then you can't say, well, where's the 10 gallons? You know, like until you show me where the 10 gallons is, you don't have to replace something. I don't know if that was the greatest example, but we don't know how far the sun is. We don't know what the sun is, and neither do heliocentric people, right? They tell us the sun is made out of 99% helium and hydrogen that defy gravity on Earth, right? Helium and hydrogen defy gravity. Put in a balloon, it goes up. And gas violently fills the available space. And we can prove that with vacuum chambers, right? We can put, let's say we put a, where is it? We put a football, let me see if this, in a vacuum chamber, and the gas explodes. It wants to escape, right? So when you put gas in space, it doesn't collapse upon each other, upon itself to create a sun. It expands. But for some reason, the gases collapsed into a sun. The sun burns like 640 billion tons a day or a minute or whatever. It's something ridiculous for billions of years and never gets any smaller. The gravity of the helium and hydrogen that defy gravity, which is a gas in space, which defies natural law, somehow can hold on to Pluto, but doesn't affect our moon. Right? The entire gravitational model is absolutely absolute nonsense. Absolute nonsense.
That moon thing is confusing. Because what the argument therefore is that the gravity of Earth is stronger than the gravity of the sun.
Well, the argument they give is the moon is closer to the Earth. Therefore, yes, the Earth's gravity outweighs the sun's gravity.
Oh, so the sun kind
of just skirts around our gravity and goes and holds on to Pluto, which we can't even see. Right? It's stupid. Here's the thing. The reason you can't figure it out, you're not stupid. It's stupid, right? And because you can't figure it out, you go like, well, you know, I don't understand that. You know, the guy with the bow tie with the lab coat, he told me, so I have to believe it. I have to believe it. So the reason you can't figure out lots of the stuff is because it's stupid. The heliocentric, I call it the helio-nonsensical model, is literally stupid. And when you finally can see it, you know, you have to lay down your ego. Your entire life before you can reason, you were taught about the globe in kindergarten. They're having on your birthday, you take your birthday cake and you march around the sun. You circle the sun. They're literally in indoctrinating you into these beliefs. So it's the foundation of your world. Because if it's the foundation of your world, you have no foundation. You're spinning, whirling, and twirling out of control, and you'll never get a good footing to realize where you are.
I mean, if you stand on, I don't know, the side of a huge lake, and it's a very still day, that water sits dead still, like it looks like a mirror. It doesn't move at all.
Yeah. Yeah,
And at the same time, if I fly in an airplane, I often look out the window at the horizon and it looks very straight.
There's two things to that. So let's talk about that. If you look out the window, first the window's curved, right? Let me just get a balloon shot here. So first the window's curved, so you do see a little curvature, but you'll see that when you're sitting on the ground also. When you look out, let's say you're looking out over calm water. You're looking straight forward. You only see a certain amount of distance before the sky and the ground ramp together. Mm. You only see so far. Do you understand? The limitation of your eyes lets you see so far. So it's supposed to be 3 miles, right? A 6-foot-tall person shouldn't be able to see the surface of the water beyond 3 miles, but we can. We can see far, 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 far beyond that, which is. It falsifies the globe, but the globe at the dimensions that they give us. But when you look over at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, you see the same distance to the horizon. The sky will converge, so that's creating a big circle around you. Do you understand?
Yeah.
It's creating a flat circle, and then your indoctrination will tell you that that's the curvature of the Earth. Here's an example I was looking for. So talking and looking at the same time. So you could say, well, that looks really flat. But if you could see farther to side and side, you are seeing in a circle because you could see the same distance in all directions. So I'll put a guy here. I'll put the horizon line there. I'm going to take it out. We're going to take a top-down view. And there's his 12 o'clock. So that distance is shorter than those two distances. Well, his horizon is optical. It's not a physical place. It's an optical limitation of your eyes. So in reality, that's the horizon that he sees in all directions, the same distance. So they'll say that's curvature, right? So you're looking at an airplane, you're looking at the horizon, you got the curved window screwing you up, you have your range of view, that'll make you see a curve. But if you can see through that and understand what you're seeing, you'll be like, oh yeah, it is flat. But it's a hard argument to get for somebody that really thinks the Earth is a globe, because this is what they're seeing, and they are seeing a curve. And when you put a tangent line across that, it shows the curve of the horizon that you see.
You suggested that there's something beyond the Antarctic.
So let me preface this by saying we don't know what's beyond 60 degrees south, right? We're only allowed to go to this purple line, right? Mm. So we don't know what's out here. Is there more land? Is there more oceans? Are there other ponds? We don't know, but I do like to speculate about it. So what if the world was set up like this? Right? Here we are, America, South America, Australia, right? We live here in the middle. This would be the ice of Antarctica, the land of Antarctica, whatever. Antarctica could just be a couple of continents out here. And because our sun that pivots in and out never gets close enough, it's just frozen. But out here is more land. Could be. I don't know. If I had to bet on it, I think there is more land beyond 60 degrees south. I think, you know, some people say on flat Earth, the dome comes down in Antarctica. Could be. Don't know. Right. Or maybe there's another million miles before the dome comes down, or more. Right. Another million miles would make a lot of room for a lot of different scenarios. This was an old map that was found in a Buddhist temple, 10 centuries old, and it was published in 1907 in a Hawaiian magazine, and it's showing all these other continents out there, right? Take this map, wrap it around a basketball, and all of this stuff out here would be crunched up at the bottom, and they say, oh, that's Antarctica, right? There are no pictures of Antarctica from space. So let me pull that up. I'll show you. If you Google, anyone listening, you could just Google Antarctica from space.
I don't use Google, by the way, Dave.
Okay, well, you could use whatever you want. Antarctica. Good for you. And that it's tough to get good results out there. Antarctica from space. Here we go. So this is what you get. It's all cartoons. But what about the places that aren't cartoons? On Google Earth, all those pictures are taken from high flying airplanes, making grids across the world and stitching them all together. Google Earth didn't add curvature until I think 2001, right? Google Earth was flat until 2001, where they added curvature. Maybe it was even 2003. I'm not sure. But they take pictures. So if you go on Google Earth anywhere, you zoom in out. Oh, there's my house. I recognize that. Zoom out. There's my town. There's everything. It's looking good. And all of a sudden, it switches to cartoons at a certain altitude. Good cartoons, like high-res cartoons. But you can tell. It just switches to cartoons. Wait a minute. If this is from space and they can get a zoom in of my house, why does the interim above a certain altitude in between how come that has to be a cartoon? Why can't they zoom? Why can't they show us the whole thing all the way in? Because it's all fake.
You said dome. Is that what is above us?
I don't know. But again, you know, I think that we are contained. I think that we are contained. So you're breathing air right now, right? Of course.
Right.
And as we talked about, air has to be contained, right? You can't bring me 5 pounds of air or helium or hydrogen without a container. And if we had a box of air, says I got a Lucite box, and I seal it up, and then I suck all the air out of the room, I have a box of air inside a vacuum. I put a hole in the top, bottom, or side. Violently, that air is going to equalize into the room, right?
Mm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when I'm hearing something, the air will violently seek equilibrium. But people will say, well, gravity's holding it down to the earth. Gravity's holding the air down. Well, I can disprove that, because supposedly our high pressure atmosphere is adjacent to a 17 torr vacuum, which is an ultimate vacuum, right? We can't even create a vacuum that strong here on Earth because, you know, but NASA has a vacuum chamber. The walls are like 10 feet thick of concrete and iron, and they can't even get it to a full vacuum because it'll collapse. It'll collapse on itself, right? So I can take a straw, put it in my mouth, point it downwards towards gravity, and I could pull air and liquid up and away with the tiny, tiny low pressure system of my mouth. That disproves gravity holding air down. So there has to be some sort of containment. Is it a glass dome? Is it an energetic dome? The way I look at it is there's different levels of our existence. There's heavens above. There's heavens above. And they're lighter densities. We are living on this electric plane, if you will. Let me show you. We're living in this toroid on that's not what I wanted. On this plane of inertia that looks something like this, in my opinion. Where the heck did it go? There it is. It looks like something like this, in my opinion. Whoops, why isn't that showing? Sorry. There we go. So we live here. This is the most dense, right? The luminaries are all up here in the heavens above, and there's different layers of density. Above us could be an energetic layer. To us, at this 3D dense level that we are, it could seem solid. Like a bug landing on top of the water, the surface tension seems solid to that bug. But to us, you know, we can just go right through that surface tension. So it might be solid to us. Maybe it's just energetic. I couldn't tell you because I haven't been there. I haven't touched it. There's lots of speculation. In my app, on the frequently asked questions page about Antarctica, if you go to the Antarctica section right here, there's stuff about sky ice, which is very, very interesting topic, where the scientists in Antarctica were experimenting on this blue ice, sky blue ice, and it's so cold that they can't even transport it off Antarctica because it disappears. It doesn't melt. It's kind of like dry ice that goes from a solid to a gas, but this just shrinks and shrinks and shrinks until it's gone, and it's lighter. Yeah, and it's light. You look at the block and you pick it up, you're like, whoa, it's way lighter than you would think. They say it's frozen oxygen. I don't know. Again, I haven't been there, but there's all sorts of interesting information about it if you look into it.
Okay, so what? If I look up at night, what am I looking at then?
Great question. So I can't tell you what you're looking at, but I can tell you what you're not looking at. We'll get into that in a second. So stars are, you know, our consumer optics have outgrown their lies, right? When you look up at the stars, where are you located? In the States?
No, I'm in South Africa.
Oh, you're in South Africa. So when you look up, I don't know the stars that you see there, but when you look up, there's all different stars here. We have one here called Arcturus that we can see in the north. And I'll talk about why you see different stars in a second. Does that look like a burning ball of gas hundreds of trillions of miles away? Right? If people understood the distances that they want to tell us that these stars are, it is absolutely, absolutely insane. Here's one. So let's talk about what a star is. The closest star to Earth, according to NASA, is, I forget the name of it, but it's four and a half light years.
Proxima Centauri, I think.
okay, it's 4.5 light years away, right? 4.5 light years. That's the light distance light takes 4.5 years to get from that star to us. 4.5 years at 1,186,000 miles a second, or whatever they say the speed of light is, right? Times 4.5 years. That's 25 trillion miles, right? The closest star, 25 trillion miles. First, do you know how long, how big a one trillion is? Like, how long is 1 trillion seconds? Did I ask you this last time?
Nah.
How long do you think 1 trillion
know.
Seconds is?
I don't know.
If you guess it within 5 days, I'll give you a Bitcoin.
I can't guess that. It's too big.
It's 31,000 years. Okay. Just let that sink in. 1 trillion seconds is 31,000 years. So if you and I got in a spaceship and we're going to that closest star, Elon gives us a rocket. It goes 1 mile per second faster than anyone's ever gone. We've traveling for 31,000 years. We got to do that 24 more times before we get there. But you know what? Elon's a good buddy of mine, and he's going to give me the rocket goes 100,000 miles an hour, right? Awesome. It's only going to take us 28,000 years to get there, right? So when you start looking at the distances they tell us things are, it doesn't make any sense. Let's talk about the sun for a second. The sun is 860,000 miles wide. So if you compared that to the Earth, the sun would be a yoga ball and the Earth would be a BB. Sound about right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so if you were standing out at noon and we brought the sun to 1 mile over your head, you'd be standing on that BB with the yoga ball a millimeter over your head, and you look up, the entire sky would be the sun, correct? Just for
correct.
Scale. So we move it 93 million miles away, or 8 light minutes, which is 93 million miles. It's now the size of a coin held at arm's length, the same size that we see it. You with me?
Yes.
So it reduced in size that much. If we doubled the distance, do you know how much smaller it would be? The answer is half the height, half the width, which would be a quarter of the size. So at double the sun's distance, it's about the size of a pencil eraser held at arm's length. If we doubled it again to 4 times, it would now be the size of a star, pretty much. It's getting pretty small. If we doubled it again to 8 times, it would be probably too small to see because your eye couldn't resolve it. So eight times the distance times 8 light minutes, 8 times 8, 64. We'll call that at a light hour. We probably couldn't see the sun, but let's give the globe the benefit of the doubt. Let's make it 24 light hours away, 24 times farther. Now we can prove that the angular size is far too small for the human eye to see, let alone the brightness issue, which we don't even have to get into because this debunks space. So at 1 light day away, we couldn't see the sun. Well, they tell us here in the north, we can see the North Star with our naked eye. And there's plenty of other stars that you can see at distances that'll make it even worse. But we can see it with our naked eye. And they tell us it's 46 times bigger than the sun. Cool. So if I made it 46 light days away, we couldn't see it, right? Size and variance, right? They tell us the sun is 400 times bigger than the moon and 400 times farther. That's why they look like they're the same size, or maybe they're just the same size. So if we make Polaris 46 light days away, we couldn't see it. That's not even 2 light months away. We could not see it. It would be too small. There's no argument. That's not a theory. It's just a fact. But they tell us it's 433 light years away. That's a little bit more than 2 light months away. So I falsified what they're telling us about the stars. Our consumer optics are completely showing us something that's not the case.
But Dave, isn't yeah. part of the official argument that you're not seeing that light immediately? You're seeing the light that existed thousands of years ago. It took that long to arrive.
Yeah, that's what they want to tell us, right? But as light, think about this, as light goes, you hold a flashlight right up to your eye, it's super bright. Pull it away, it's not that bright anymore because the light is spreading out. As that light spreads out, you only have the same number of photons that left, if that's the case. And that light is spreading out, getting thinner and thinner and thinner. The analogy I give is take a balloon and it's got like just a little air in it. It's not stretched out. The rubber is the light. You blow it up to 1 foot wide, it's now much thinner. Blow it up to 10 feet wide, that rubber's getting super, super thin. Blow it up to 100 feet wide. Can you even see the rubber anymore? Right? That's the light. The light's spreading out. So the inverse square law tells us that every time you half the distance to a light, it's a quarter of the brightness. Well, that if you do the math on it, it's ridiculous. Just the math with, we see the moon at, let's say, one lumen, right? If we went to the moon, by the time they got to 100 miles from the moon would appear brighter than we see the sun from Earth because of the inverse square law. Here's the problem with where I'm going with this. Most people are just tuning out at this point. They can't handle this amount of thinking because they were never taught to think these things through. And the way our mind works, Germ, is everything I'm telling you, you're instantly in a microsecond accessing everything that you were ever told that references this and making an opinion. And the stuff that you were told, the stuff that gets stored in your subconscious, it gets stored as true or false. The problem is when it's taught by a teacher under the age of 7, it's stored as true. It's stored as undeniably true. Did you know, Germ, that I used to be the president of the United States? So in 5 minutes, I'm going to ask you, do you know any of the presidents of the United States? And you're going to be like, yeah, I could probably name a dozen or five of them, whatever. You could name a few, and David Weiss is definitely not one of them. And that's all going to happen in a microsecond in your head. And so you remembered what I said, but you stored it as false information. Okay. The heliocentric system and all of the nonsense with it, that none of you, when I say you, all of us that, you know, believe into it, never verified, is stored as truthful information because it was taught to us by teachers. It was in the textbooks. Why would they lie? Right? So all of that is stored, and all of the foundation of our the way we see the world and the way we figure things out, we're using false information stored as real, as true, to create our reality. And it's just false. Everything is false, right? The head of the CIA said in the 1960s, he says, once everything the American people believe is false, well, no, our job is been complete. You know, and decades ago when I heard that, I was like, not everything. It is practically everything. It's incredible how fake this world is.
A conversation I was having recently with some people is the moon. And is there an example anywhere on Earth of a rock that can shine with that much brightness and give off a shadow? And as far as I can tell, there isn't. What is the moon?
Yeah, what is the moon? Again, that's my friend Zach Zambala wrote 2 children's books, What is the Sun and What is the Moon? And the thing is, we don't know. I think the moon has to do with delivering souls to this realm. You know, it's tied to women's menstrual cycles. It, you know, when the moon goes into the new moon phase, nobody has ever seen it from anywhere, from an airplane, from the fake station, from the Earth, infrared. No one has ever seen it. That's impossible. During a total solar eclipse, where people say, well, the new moon is right next to the sun, so it's too bright. Well, during a total solar eclipse, it's blocking the whole sun. The Earth shine, right? Because we have moonshine that we can read by that will cast our shadow on the ground. The Earth shine should light up the moon, and it never does. No one has ever seen the moon during an eclipse. So what is the moon? That's a great question. You know, is it spherical? I kind of think it is, but you can't prove that it is. You know, I'm standing right next to this rock. We were talking about the inverse square law of light. Well, this rock should be so bright. I'm standing right next to it. The sun is shining on it, right? It should be brighter than this rock because I'm 237,000 miles away from this rock. So this one should be thousands of times brighter than this one. This is arguably more reflective, too, from what we've seen with the dusty, dirty moon, right? So the moon is a light in the sky. It's a light. It behaves like a light. It looks like a light.
Okay, so what do you make of this Artemis NASA rocket launch that's about to happen?
We're just all speculating on what they're going to do. Are they going to cancel it? Are they going to is it going to be AI? Is it just what nonsense are they going to absolutely show us? It's complete and total nonsense.
Yeah, well, let me rephrase my question. All the rocket launches, yeah, including SpaceX, etc. What's going on there? Where are those rockets going?
Yeah, well, if you carefully look at any rocket launch, they all go right into the ocean. So let me just pull this up. I'll say rocket launch. Give me a second. There we go. So they all go up and they curve over and they crash out into here in America, into the Bermuda Triangle. People are like, what about the other space agencies, you know, JAXA and RAXA and all these other ones? Guess what? They all train in Florida. Did you know that? At NASA's facility. All the other space agencies train at a NASA facility in Florida. Think they're getting their marching orders? Right? Space agencies are here to keep us in our heliocentric mental prison. So they go up and they crash down. And then, you know, we could spend a lot of time looking, just looking at the fakery. Wernher von Braun, who runs NASA, in 1957 wrote a book called Project Mars about a bunch of people that go to populate Mars. And the guy that led the group in the book, Elon. And here's Elon going to Mars, right? It's so stupid.
Yeah, just a correction. Von Braun, I don't think he ran NASA. I think he was just the head of one of the divisions.
Okay, whatever. He was put up high up in NASA. All right, thanks for the correction.
Yeah.
Let's just look at a couple SpaceX. I mean if if it depends on what you which ones you look at. I mean, they have all of their sex symbolism in these rockets. Here is this thing is going up. This is Elon's testing his Mars rocket. Does this thing look like it's moving? Like, where is it going? Look at the smoke coming off of it. This thing is going up. Look at the smoke. Is that just floating in there? Is it even in the sky? Is it even real? Like, what the heck is this? Let me just jump forward a little bit. Here it is falling down, right? It's falling down. All right, it is falling. It's got some smoke coming off of it. And it's going to land upright. It's going to land upright somehow, right?
But people did see that, though, in real life, Dave. I mean,
did they? Who saw it?
Well, I don't know anyone personally, but apparently people could go and watch from a distance.
Now, so there's all sorts of trickery. You can watch from a distance. They could be shooting up something much smaller. They go up, they curve over, and you don't get to see where it goes. And then then you look on TV, and you're watching it go into space. Right. If you watch these rocket landings, they always land out in the middle of the ocean on a drone ship where with no people on them. And then it always cuts out. This is a cartoon from the 60s or 70s or a movie, right, of it landing. And this is Elon landing and always cut just before it lands. This landed in the middle of the ocean with these waves and winds. This is like some serious conditions out there. And this thing came out of space and landed on a little raft. You can believe that? Upright. Nobody there.
By extension, what is the ISS?
It's,
is it real? Does it exist?
Yeah, I don't believe that there is a craft up there. Well, first, space doesn't exist. Space doesn't exist. The stuff that they show us from people up there, it's all done in a Hollywood studio. They've even been caught by saying, you know, where they were. They're like, well, we're right here in Texas. You're like, wait a minute. You're in Texas? You're moving 17,000 miles an hour. How do you know you're in Texas?
I've seen some of those videos where the hair and all that nonsense, it just doesn't look right.
It doesn't look right, or it looks absolutely ridiculous.
Mm.
Absolutely ridiculous. So let's.
But now, yeah, I mean, go on, Dave.
Go ahead. No, it's going to just show you, talk about this woman here with her hair. You know, it's like.
Yes.
First, would you let somebody with long hair go live up on a space station? Look what they do for military pilots. They shave their heads. I mean, this stuff is going to be floating. People are going to be gagging on it. Then someone's going to vomit. And then there's going to. How do you even clean that up in space? It's all just trickery. These people, why do they have belts in space? Are their pants going to fall down? right?
You've obviously been thrown a number of questions that I've asked you, but it sounds obvious. But
What about all the satellites that, that supposedly orbit?
I love the satellite question. Thanks for asking. So, satellites, so have you ever looked up and seen a satellite?
I mean, I've seen things going across the sky at night.
That, they're going too fast. And so we're like, those are satellites. It used to be my favorite thing to do. When I'd go down to the Caribbean, I'd go lay out at night and I'm like, there's a satellite. And I'd watch it go by. So cool, right? But again, this is based on we have people don't know the angular resolution limits of their eyes. So satellites are crashing all over the Earth. Oh, no, this is NASA doing a they're recovering a satellite to make a repair on it. I mean, this is just 1960s nonsense cartoon, but I'm looking for, oh yeah. So NASA, largest consumer of helium in the world, admits that they launch these satellites on balloons, right? Up to 8,000 pounds. They stay up there for years. And that's interesting. And there's tens of thousands of them up there. So that doesn't mean that there's not satellites, but that's what any satellites that we know of are hanging on balloons. But what about Starlink? This is the one that gets everybody. So a bunch of years ago, when Starlink started going up, people started seeing these lines go across the sky. I saw it, and I'm like, "Whoa, there it is!"
Yeah, I also saw it.
Yeah. You also saw it, right? So, okay. I'm just trying to make sure I have the right graphic here. So I saw it. Well, a Starlink satellite is about the size of a child's school desk, and it's 350 miles up. 350 miles up. So you ever stand next to a 747?
It's huge.
Big plane. Huge, right? There's a 747 in there, and hard to see in the picture, but you can see the shape of the airplane, but can you make out the engines?
No.
Probably can't, right? That's 7 miles up. Seven. Can't make out the engines, right? You can probably fit a dozen Starlink satellites inside this engine, right? So you can't see it. If you doubled it to 14 miles up, could you even see the airplane? The answer is no, you couldn't. 350 miles up, that's when it's directly above you. When it's over there, it's farther. Could be twice as far. And we see those going all the way across.
What are we looking at then?
Right. So, great question. Did you know that that Elon bought, I hope I have this right, I don't have the graphic in front of me. He bought, I think, his brother or somebody's biggest drone company in the world. I think that they're drones. I think they're just flying drones up there to make us see these things. Now, you haven't seen that string of satellites in a long time, right? You saw it a couple of years ago, I'm guessing.
Nah, yes? Yeah, it was years ago.
Yeah, so think about this. That's when they first started putting them up. So there's very few of them. Since then, they've put up tens of thousands more. We should be seeing these things every night. Nobody's seeing them anymore. Maybe once in a while. So they did this to convince people, look, satellites are going up. I saw them myself. There's nothing you can say to convince me otherwise, right? So now they've stopped with the fooling. That we should be seeing multiple strings every night, everywhere, no matter where you are, with the number that are up there. So we're not seeing them. The second thing is we couldn't see them. We falsified the fact that, you know, whatever we're seeing is closer and smaller. You've seen, you know, what they can do with drones making dragons in the sky. You think they can make a line of white lights going across the sky? That's like the simplest thing ever. And people are like, well, how does it go for that long? Drones can't fly that long. Okay, well, we don't know what battery technology they have, but you know they can launch little satellites from airplanes, from the back of cargo airplanes. They can, and you'll watch those things. One light will blink out, and then another light will come on. And they change a little bit, right? So, but here's the question. What about Starlink service, satellite service? It actually works, right? So the answer is, I'm just trying to, all right, I found it. So when I'm on an airplane and I have internet connections, it's quite amazing. And they keep reminding me that I'm connecting with satellites.
Yes.
Yeah. So there, it used to be I connected with cell towers, but now I'm connecting with satellites. So here's an airplane. Here's some cell towers on the ground. And this is what used to happen. You just daisy chain, just like driving down the road, going from tower to tower to tower. You're no problem, right? But this message pops up on my phone. Let everyone know via satellite, this is brainwashing, right? So now they want me to believe, and I can't even make it to scale here. So I've got the airplane, I've got the satellite, and I've got the cell towers. So they want me to believe that the airplane is now sending my signal to a minimum of 350 miles up, where that satellite that doesn't have a power source, that's falling around the Earth, somehow keeping up with the spirograph, you know, motions of the Earth, and it sends my signal down to the tower below the airplane. Does that make any sense to you, Jerome?
I do struggle with that.
Well, you should struggle with it because it's stupid, right? So the airplane's sending my signal up, and then this batteryless tin can falling in space vacuum is sending it down to a cell tower. That makes no sense. Now, I asked ChatGPT. I have a great video on it where I said, by the way, the Starlink receivers, if you go look up what they used in the Vietnam War, they talked about how the troops could connect with these AWACS airplanes, and then that would transmit back to Washington because of the curve of the Earth, of course. And that transmitter that the troops use is the same. It's the same equipment as the Starlink from decades ago. So it's the same equipment. So I said, hey, ChatGPT, if we took Starlink satellites, instead of putting them into space, we put them in the belly of an airplane where they had their own power source and they could be serviced anytime the plane lands if something goes wrong. Would that work? And it said that would work really well. The only problem is if there's a big storm and they divert airplanes around the storm, there would be no service in that area. And so what if they put some military like AWACS airplanes above those storms that had the equipment on it? And it said that would be a more robust, better working system than the current Starlink system. It would certainly be cheaper and it would work better. I contend that that's what they're doing. Last thing is there's a guy that lives on an island in the South Pacific somewhere, and he recently last few years, whatever, got internet service on his little island because he has Starlink. And he's the guy that tracks every military flight in the sky. He's one of those guys that just tracks all the airplanes. And he said anytime the last airplane leaves his area, he loses his Starlink service. Is that just a coincidence?
So every morning I get up at around 5:30 because I've got a little kid. And before he gets up, I make myself some coffee and I go and sit on my balcony and I wait for it, sun to rise. Just tell me what's going on there.
Yeah, awesome. Great question. Sunrises and sunsets, that's a big one. And flat earthers say that the sun always rises to eye level, right? And that's actually not true. It appears to rise to eye level. So what is the horizon? Well, there's two horizons. There's a physical ground horizon. It's the horizon we see from the ground. And then there's an atmospheric horizon. So I'm just trying to talk and find the video I want.
Well, while you're doing that, I think I know what you mean. Because if I'm in an airplane, I'm very high up, but the horizon is still at the same level.
The horizon appears to rise at eye level. You get to like 40, 45,000 feet, you can see the sun far, far, far beyond where you should be able to see it. But no one's really thinking about this. So here we have some clouds. Let's say these clouds are just for a number, 10,000 feet. Well, these clouds are 10,000 feet, 10,000 feet, 10,000 feet. They're all 10,000 feet, but they appear like they're getting closer and closer to the horizon. They're getting compressed due to our vision. Right. So here we have a clear sky, but even on a clear sky day, when you look up, you're looking through this much atmosphere. right? But when you, if you have this much atmosphere and you're looking across, you're looking through an infinite amount of atmosphere. So as we look down, it gets thicker and thicker and thicker, and it becomes opaque. So this line here, what is this line? So let's talk about that. So here we have clouds, and we'll put another cloud farther in the distance, and another one, you can't even see it because it's merging with this line here. But if I zoomed in, you'd be able to see it. So I have the sun moving away as it does. It just moves away. And look, it's disappearing from the bottom up right here. It's disappearing from the bottom up as it's just moving beyond the cloud. You can understand that. It's disappearing from the bottom up as it moves beyond the cloud. Beyond the cloud, but here, because you can't resolve anything, it's moving beyond the cloud again there. So it's just gone beyond where we, you know, what we think is the horizon. So let me show you. Is this the one? So we have these streetlights. They all going into the distance, and they look like they're going down. But as we zoom in, we can bring them back up. We know that they're all at the same level. So here's a guy looking at the cloud. And so if we drew a string from his eye to this cloud, it goes straight up. But as that cloud moves into the distance, it appears to get lower and lower and lower, right? So now we have this cloud over here. And if he looks over at that cloud, he sees that string paralleling right across the water level. That's how he sees it. That's how he perceives it. Now, if I put a guy underneath this cloud, so this is the cloud in the distance, he sees that line going from a high up cloud down to his eyes. Remember, this guy sees it going straight across, same line, right? Because he's underneath that cloud that's on his horizon. So if the sun moves away, this guy, remember, this guy's underneath the cloud. This cloud to him is on the horizon. So as the sun goes beyond the cloud, he can no longer see it anymore, right? It'll disappear from the bottom up from his point of view. But the way he really sees it is like this. His sun's going away. This is his horizon here, and the sun looks to be going below it. It's just going beyond it. Beyond. Let me show you just another one to take this one on, because this is a really, really important one. So here we have, that's not it. Give me a second. All right, I'll just start with this one. All right. So again, streetlights going into the distance. If we went another mile down the road, look, you wouldn't be able to see that light. It'd just be gone. It'd be beyond your horizon. This is the sun going away, and it's going beyond this atmospheric deck of opacity. This line here could be 10,000 feet above your eye level, 10,000 feet. So if I put a truck here, these lights are going to get blocked by the truck. If we push the truck farther and farther away, eventually you're not going to be able to see the truck anymore, but the lights are still going to go beyond it. That's what the horizon is. It's the atmospheric deck. It could be mountains. It could be whatever that it just hides. It goes beyond it. The horizon looks like it's at your eye level, but it's really high above your eye level.
Okay. What you're saying then is that in the morning, when I see the sunrise, what I'm seeing is not the sun coming from below the earth or the earth turning to see the sun, but it's the sun coming from the distance and going over me and going past me, behind me. Is that right?
Correct. Here we have a real sunset here, and we have this coin on the table. The camera's slightly below the table, and that's why the coin is disappearing. But in the distance, the horizon, your eyes are below the horizon. The horizon that you see is the whole atmosphere being compressed into a line that appears to be at your eye level, but that atmosphere could be 10, 20,000 feet high. The sun is just coming from beyond it.
Okay, so
it's just coming from beyond it.
So then you're saying that the sun is circling above me. Is that right?
Yes. It circles around. I'll show you that in a second.
And so is the moon.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll show you that in a moment. So here, so again, perspective. You show this picture to a child and they say, what do you see? You see a guy standing on a pier, fishing, there's a boat, the sun, the clouds, there's a tree on the left there. And you kind of see the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Is the water higher or lower than the pier?
Well, it's obviously
lower. Think about
lower.
It in reality.
It's obviously lower,
but it's higher in the picture here, right? It's higher, but in reality, it's lower. It's just perspective.
Yes.
Correct? All right. And is the sun higher than the tree or lower than the tree? It's higher than the tree because of experience.
Yeah.
But it's lower in the picture due to perspective.
Yes, obviously it's lower.
Where's the 50-story skyscraper in this picture?
I don't see it.
You sure? We're actually looking straight up at the sun.
Oh.
In New York City. Did you see it? Okay.
Well
so
played.
What I'm showing. Yeah, well, but here, no, I'm not trying to trick you. I'm trying to show you how you trick yourself. Mm. We see what we're told to believe, right? So here's the sun. Let's say it's noon and now it's 1 o'clock. Is the sun below the horizon or just beyond the building?
Yeah, it's just beyond.
It's just beyond the building. So the question is, how could we see it again? Well, you can go up in the air or you can go backwards, maybe go across the street. Maybe you get a better angle and see the sun, right? If you went a mile away, the building would be much smaller and you'd definitely be able to see the sun, correct?
Yeah.
All right. So here's a perspective grid. And I'm going to throw this mountain up here. Let's say it's 3,000 feet up. You got the sun up here. The sun's going away. Did it go below the horizon or beyond the mountain?
Well, obviously it went beyond, yeah.
Beyond the mountain. But this is how we see. That's clear. Everyone knows that. So if I went backwards like 25 miles, now that mountain, still 3,000 feet above my eye level, I have a much better view and angle to the sun. The sun goes away. Did it go below the mountain or beyond it?
No, it went beyond it.
It went beyond it, but this is looking like, if you're a glober, this is your Earth curve. It gets worse. Now let's add the cloud deck in here. So this cloud deck is 10, 15,000 feet in the sky. The sun is above it. The sun goes beyond all of these clouds, and it goes beyond this line. Now, what is this line? This line is the top of the mountain, 3,000 feet. It's also the 10,000 feet of the atmosphere on top of that. So we're 13, 15,000 feet. This line is 13, 15, 20,000 feet above his eye level, but that's not how he sees it. And the sun just goes beyond it. Here's a perspective grid.
Right.
Here's a guy his eye level. My bad. Right? You got a mountain 3,000 feet up. You got the sun. It goes beyond the mountain. Not below the mountain, beyond the mountain. Right? If I went backwards 25 miles, the top of this mountain is still 3,000 feet above his eyes, but there's the sun.
Mm.
Right? Sun goes farther away, beyond or below. It went beyond, again, just like before. Nothing changes, right? Add the cloud deck in here. These clouds are 10, 15,000 feet above the mountain. The sun just goes beyond, and this line here becomes the atmospheric deck of opacity and the mountain, thousands and thousands of feet above his eye level. The sun's above that. It just goes beyond it.
Okay, but there you go. But if the sun is circling above flat Earth, right, shouldn't that vector start curving?
Well, we're seeing a very small area of the sun. We only see the sun, you know, I'm here in the United States. When the sun is over California, just that little bit, it's setting. It's literally almost setting for me, right? So we only see a tiny little bit. And during our summer, when the sun is in here over the Tropic of Cancer, let me bring the sun in. Hold on. Where are we? We're at January, February, March, April, May, June. Did I get there? April, May, June. So in June, the sun is all the way in here. The sun is all the way in here. And so I can watch it rise in the morning, and I can watch it. It curves around me. It doesn't make a straight line in the sky. because it's making a bigger curve. And I have much longer days also because the sun is closer to me for a longer period of time. So we have much longer days and longer sunsets. It's when it's out here in your summer that it's lower in the sky for me, just like those streetlights, the streetlight down the road. That's my winter sun. It's lower in the sky. I get less heat from it because it's farther away. And it circles around, and I see it kind of do more of a straight line because I'm seeing less of a curve. I'm seeing more of a curve here. I watch the sun rise over here, and it'll wrap around me. So you've never measured the path of the sun in the sky, but it does curve. And we see, again, the sun is, you know, I think that we see what's called an apparent sun. An apparent sun. Let me just show you real quick. What do I call that? So the sun that we see, I remember. The sun that we see in the sky is in an apparent position. What do I mean by that? So the apparent position. So here we go. So I divided my room into two parts with a sheet. I got a light 10 feet on the other side, and I have this apparent sun. Now my wife's over here on the left of me, and I said, hey, where do you see the sun on the sheet? So from her point of view, let me go back over there. She sees it right there. So if I put a little X on the sheet with a Sharpie, there would be an X on the sheet over there. She sees the sun over there while I see it there. We're seeing it in two different positions. So everyone sees the sun in a position relative to themselves. That's a much longer podcast. There's tons of videos on my app under Where Does the Sun Go section that will show you that. Learning about this, the big obstacle is people like, this is the dumbest thing ever. You know, people don't want to throw out their entire life belief, fantasy, knowledge, if you will, false knowledge, and to relearn everything again. It's a huge blow to the ego. And, you know, most people hated school. You hated school because you were being taught nonsense and your soul knew it. You don't want to relearn it again. But once you let go, once you take the time and realize that this is a real thing, your whole life changes. Life actually, I've seen people come out of depression, out of drug addiction, you know, which comes from depression usually, because they find meaning in their life again. This is the topic that frees your mind from the Matrix. The Matrix is a documentary at this point, and you know, we're in the middle of the movie, or towards the ending credits of the movie Idiocracy right now, the way the world is going. So if you take the time to look into this, everything will change. And here's how I motivate people to take the extra time. I offer 3 Bitcoins for 1 globe proof. All you have to do is get the app every day. There's a featured video right here. Watch the featured video for 2 weeks. When you get up, have your coffee, when you're sitting on your deck watching the sunrise, you watch that featured video. At the end of 2 weeks, you send me 1 globe proof and you win 3 Bitcoins. But before you do that, you have to hit the frequently asked questions button and make sure that your question was not answered in here, which most of them are. And, if you do that, I'd have to warn you, you're going to end up being a flat earther and you're not going to get your 3 Bitcoins because the earth is not a ball, and it's provably so. And then what comes with that, Jerem, have you looked in? I'm sure you have to the old world. Have you looked into that?
A little bit.
Yeah. So I even have a complete old world section on here. There's the incredible, incredible stuff on here, from the giant trees to the lost history of flat earth. Amazing. If you watch that, you're finished. It's over. There's no recovering. But the old world, my lunch break, I'd say he's the top guy out there. You can find him on YouTube, on Rumble, everywhere. My lunch break. Watch a couple episodes of that and you will never see the world again the same way.
All right. Well, your website is flatearthdave.com. Is that right?
That is. And that's where you can get the app. The app is $3, one-time charge. There are some higher functions on the app that you would have to subscribe to, which is $11 for the whole year. So what I recommend to people is just get the app and then don't subscribe until you're ready, unless you want to. But, you know, people say, well, flat earth is so fringe. Look at the United States. These are people that are on the friend finder on my app, right? Where you're in South Africa, right?
Yeah.
We got to work on it. We got a few people there. We're getting there. But after this podcast, I expect to see some more dots showing up there. And it's amazing. One other quick thing is, when you become a flat earther, it could be very lonely. So if you click the heart button, that brings you to the matchmaker, and you can say, all right, I'm interested in females, males, whatever, at whatever age group, 1,000-mile radius. And you can favorite the ones you want. So I'll just click that just to show you. And then you can scroll and you could meet nice people and you can message them. You can call them on the app. You can do video calls. There we go. So there's different people, and you just can scroll and, use the message button, and people have gotten married and have had children because of this app. So again, like-minded, awake, aware people. It's actually quite fun.
All right. David Weiss, thank you for joining me in the trenches.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, and let's do it again.